Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And now here is Stephen Stone.
And thank you very much, David Jones. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Straight Talk, the South Carolina Broadcast Association's 2019 Public Affairs Radio Show of the Year, where we talk about all things Rock Hill, Fort Mill, Tinkakee, York County, whatever's shaking up and down I-77. If it's of interest to all of us, it usually is, you'll hear about it here on Straight Talk with my friend and fearless leader, Manning Kimmel. I get the privilege today to be the guest host, and it's going to be a great show, so settle back. It's going to be a quick 30 minutes, but you're going to learn a lot of things, as will I. Our broadcast brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, is with us today, right around the corner, Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And as always, our streaming is provided by highspeedweb.net, 24/7, 365, and Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Today we're talking with Kim Trainer from Fostering the Family. They're based in Tinkakee, and I'm getting an education already before we go to air about their mission to assist foster parents. But, Kim, welcome. It's much more than that.
Thank you, Stephen. It is.
Now, tell me about Fostering the Family. You guys are located in Tinkakee.
Actually, Lake Wylie.
Lake Wylie. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. They're pretty particular
close
about that out there. Yes. Understandable. But you're not a very big organization, but you've got a very big task on your hands.
We do. A few years ago, we heard about some children actually here in Rock Hill that were being neglected and abused. And what stood out to me was the two little girls I heard about, 9 years old and 11 years old, in Rock Hill being prostituted from their mother at a local bar. And at that point, I began to say, you know what? We can't do everything, but we can do something. And as the deputy from the sheriff's department told me about that, at this time, that was the biggest need in York County, is foster care. And that is where Fostering the Family began. As I started researching, how could a normal person do something? And as I have researched, Betsy Roush is our co-director with me, and it's really kind of exploded and landed in our lap. And so we feel like this is a spiritual calling more than a philanthropic calling, because we see the need of children in our state that have no hope unless we step in.
It seems to me that this would be an overwhelming task just on the surface, and the idea of it. You gave me a little information. 60% of sex trafficking victims are in the foster care system. That's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it really is. And what's even worse is a recent statistic that came out in South Carolina is that South Carolina is number one in the nation with familial sex trafficking. That means our own families, aunts, uncles, grandparents, are putting their kids into this sex trafficking issue in our state. And, you know, we are doing everything that we can to come alongside foster families who do feel called for this endeavor, but also to give them the needed support that they need to foster longer and stronger. But when you see statistics like that, I think the average person, your heart is just, it's a gut-wrenching thing to think about. We're not talking New York or California, which would make probably more sense.
Yeah.
We're talking right here in the Bible Belt, South Carolina. So at this point, we need to be proactive, and we have a great plan of how to get our people in our state activated.
Why has the foster care system failed so? I mean, obviously with a number like that, let alone 50% of the general prison population consisting of those formerly in foster care, how did it go off the rails?
You know, I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. I guess we could point to several things. There's lots of social justice issues. Thankfully, we live in a wonderful nation. We live in a wonderful state, and we live in a wonderful county. I think a lot of this type of things, it just goes so under the radar. And it's not that people don't care. They just don't know what to do. We actually had one pastor about a year ago. We sat in his office, and he said, you know, as a pastor, I read James 1:27, which says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. He said, I'll read that and just want to rip the whole page out of my Bible, because as a pastor, I know we need to help. I just don't know what to do. So where fostering the family comes in, we feel like the family is the bedrock of society, but also the church. And so if we can activate that, that's really our bread and butter, the church. And we're not one church. We're every denomination with those who are willing. And I'm happy to say there's a great coalition of churches arising in York County, and that's where we're beginning.
So they obviously realize the need for this, and
absolutely
you've managed to build a small army.
Well, I think that's exactly what we're doing.
Now, 80% of inmates on death row aged out of foster care, meaning that there is a certain point that if you get through the foster care, you obviously you become an adult and it's no longer applicable. What is to become, you know, I mean, is this where the 80%?
80% of inmates on death row aged out of foster care. So that is saying the worst of society are coming from this these children that are growing up with no one giving them the love, the nurture, the support, the training that they need to know anything different. And what is also staggering about this is 60% of girls that age out of foster care within 2 years are pregnant, and the cycle starts again. So what we're wanting to do is we feel like children are a great foundation to make a change in society. And so when you have 4,500 children in South Carolina that are in need of foster care, you have 400 that are outright need, they're ready to be adopted. And with the national, there's been some national stats of just closing down a lot of orphanages. So in the next year, we're going to see even a bigger influx of children in the foster system across the United States. And I would like to say it's just fostering the family, but we're really not. Fostering the family is part of a affiliation from Georgia called Promise 686 that we are taking their plan and implementing it in South Carolina because it's worked. They're in about 300 churches in Georgia. They're in 17 other states implementing their plan, and it's working. And that's the great hope, that it's not just two girls saying, hey, let's do this.
Right.
We're joining with other people that have been successful, and we're implementing that in South Carolina. And I'd like to say, oh, when we started looking at this, there was tons of nonprofits. There really aren't. And when we have been in luncheons in Metro Charlotte, and I've asked other nonprofits, why are y'all not in South Carolina? Their answer to us has been, it's hard to even get a foot in the door in South Carolina.
Why?
I'm not sure. I think legislation, the welcoming to, you know, get
the bureaucracy.
Into, yeah, it's been very difficult. And so we have an affiliation with the South Carolina Foster Parent Association, which is wonderful. But that has been probably one of the only organizations in the state. And they're doing wonderful things, but they can't do everything. Neither can DSS. And that's another focus for us, is we are beginning to have a relationship with our Department of Social Services. And when we're getting in there, we're seeing that these are people just like you and I, but they have a very heavy job to do that. The average lifespan of a DSS worker is 8 months. Yeah. So when we can come in there and offer support, even to them, encouragement, fostering the family, and this is part of our strategy, is to build a bridge between our DSS system, who again are normal people who want to help, but they have this huge mandate, you know, that they've kind of been the bad people, so to speak. So as we're working with them, working with churches and bridging that gap, we're seeing it be just that. We're bridging a gap that's kind of been avoided for years for whatever reason.
Well, and in the case of DSS, and this is from sea to shining sea, because I've known social service workers on both coasts, California and the Carolinas and Missouri in between. It's absolutely overwhelming, not to mention heartbreaking and gut-wrenching.
Absolutely.
Because it all, for a long period of time, it easily through, the, I guess, the turn of this century, all these cases went directly to them. And they were absolutely overwhelmed by it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So you guys are able to give them support. I think that's a wonderful thing, to give them support when you're talking about a job that someone is only going to last sanely in for 8 months.
Right, right.
I mean, that's staggering.
Well, I'm just so happy to report that our DSS contacts have been so welcoming to us. Mm-hmm. And we even have one church this Friday that's going to take cupcakes to all the DSS workers with an encouragement note to say thank you for doing, you know, for serving and for helping our family and children in York County. And that hasn't been done for a very long, long time.
It's those nice little things along the way that can really make the difference, can't they?
Well, boosting morale, and, you know, we all need encouragement, right?
Sure.
And that's another spoke of what we do is it's a nurturing nonprofit. We are but encouraging, you know, to come around that you're not alone, that there's hope. And as people feel empowered, they can take care of those children better. You know, you or I might not be fostering right now, but we can do something.
Right. Okay. Now, there are people out there that would like to do this. Okay. Would like to be foster parents and that sort of thing. And what are the incentives other than just the altruistic value of, you know, doing something good for your fellow human being?
Well, you know, I met a lady in Columbia a few weeks ago, and she was a nurse from Arkansas. Her child was in the law school there at USC. And, you know, we just struck up a conversation, and she said, you know, all my children have left, and I don't know if she's a single mom or not. She said, and I just keep thinking I'm not done. Like, I am supposed to have another child, not physically, but help in some respect. And I said, you know what? That right there, that press in your heart, that's not by accident. And I would go as far to say is I would think that is the Lord Jesus moving your heart to even inquire, you know. And I said, see what doors open. Right. Call your local agencies and just see, you know, what would it look like for you to foster? And I said, at any point you could say no, but it could be that might be for a season, mm-hmm. something that, you know, she said, I just don't know if I'm through with my, you know, raising kids. And I said, I just don't think that's by accident, because most people your age are like, I'm done. I'm going on a cruise.
Right.
I'm getting my convertible, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And I said, but there are those out there that just, they're not done. And I said, for those people, whether you can't have children anymore, whether you're a single mom and or single girl, there's a large majority in Greenville County, single girls that are out of college, young professionals, and they're fostering.
And with success?
With success.
That's the main thing, because I've known folks that have tried to do it, but it was just such an overwhelming, impossible situation for whatever the reason, behavior of the child, or just, you know, the things they had to go through mm-hmm. to be able to do it. That they were, you know, discouraged, and it you know, it was kind of like, well, we'd love to, but apparently we can't.
Yep, yep. Well, that's the beauty. Our bread and butter, so to speak, of fostering the family is when we have a church that wants to partner with us, our goal is to raise up 2 to 3 people in that church called advocates. And they'll be the advocate team that will then implement our strategy, which is the Live the Promise strategy, into their church. And with that, you will find your foster or adoptive or kinship families, and then you will seek to find volunteers to come around them for 1 year to serve them with, and it could be a variety of things. It could be meals, babysitting once a month, helping do laundry once a month, folding laundry, taking your trash once a week, respite care. But most importantly, praying for them. And also, when the child leaves, your heart leaves with that child. And having people there to support you, you know, hey, how are you doing today? I was thinking about you. Those kind of things mean a lot, because this is not cattle we're shipping in and out.
No.
These are the souls of men and women that we are going. So if that child is only here in that home for 2 weeks, you still grow to love that child for 2 weeks, or, you know, you're used to them being there and you're, you know, but can you imagine the child that's been there 8 months?
Right.
A year. I mean, they've been engrafted into your family, you know. So we're really seeing some beautiful results of children being adopted that we're in fostering, and families being built up. And that's a beautiful thing.
That really is. That's your payoff, isn't it?
It really is. It really is.
Kim Traynor is with us today. She's one of the directors of Fostering the Family, and we're talking about, you know, who they are and what they do, because until about 24, 48 hours ago, I'd never heard of Fostering the Family, but I'm learning a lot about it, as I know all of you are. We're going to take our mid-program break right now. Remind you that Straight Talk is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And as always, we broadcast live right here from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, across from Winthrop University, where they make fresh subs and salads right before your very eyes. And Kim, if you were here a year ago, you remember this is the high pressure part of the show now. And how they do this is very simple. The magic recipe here: slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. I'm going to call on you at the end of the show to join me in that little chat, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be back with more Straight Talk right after this.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Cash In. Cash In is the newest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Use your rewards earning Founders credit cards, and you can exchange your CU rewards points for a deposit to your Loyalty Select. Log into Founders Online to redeem your points today. Relax. Cash in your points. Account restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration. When you are faced with damage to your home, there is only one company you need to know: Paul Davis Restoration. Only one company that 4 out of 5 insurance adjusters or agents surveyed said they would use Paul Davis to work on their own homes. There is only one company you need to know. Call Paul Davis Restoration, 803-329-1140. It is better to know Paul Davis Restoration and not need us than to need Paul Davis and not know us. 329-1140.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for 4 generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-through with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place. Enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Kim Traynor is with us today. She's one of the directors of Fostering the Family, and talking about their mission to assist foster parents. And we've been doing that in the first half of the program. But what I wanted to find out was, you are a 501c3 nonprofit, obviously.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So how are you being supported in your undertaking of what you're doing here?
Well, we have had the biggest thing is we have churches that are coming around us and supporting us, and that's the biggest win. The next thing is Betsy and I both did this for volunteer for the last 4 years.
Okay.
And we were like, we don't really need money to do this. This is our heart. This is what we want to do. But as you get into this, you're building a business.
Yeah.
This is not just, you know, so anytime you see somebody out there that has started an endeavor, if it's a running club or Boys and Girls Club or what, it doesn't just happen. There has to be somebody in the background making it happen. For Fostering the Family, Betsy and I have been in the background making it happen. And we got to a point last year that, I mean, we were so busy. I mean, my husband was like, don't go into the living room because it sucks you in and you get on that computer, and, you know. And so we were learning, you know, that we had to have some margin in our life. But it was hard when I was nannying, substitute teaching. Betsy was working her part-time jobs, and she's a guardian at Lightham. And we had another organization come around us that said, look, we see what you guys are doing, and this is awesome. You are going to go all over South Carolina. We want to help you do that, but you got to start getting paid. And we're like, well, yeah, we would say that, but how do you do that? And they're like, we're going to have a fundraising dinner, and we're going to shoot for some goals, and we're going to help you do that. And at that point, we were like, we love this, but, yeah, how do you do that? So we were able to, one of our board members landed the event at Tiga K Country Club.
Okay.
And we're 6 weeks out, like we are now. We're 6 weeks out to our second annual dinner. And we were having people go, you know what, I don't know if you could do this. You know, like, who's going to come?
There's always the doubters, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Or the pessimists.
I mean, and they come in spades. So, and Betsy and I sat down. We said, you know what? We just gave our word. We're going to have this. We're going to do it. And we got the word out. We had a few corporate sponsors. It wasn't a ton, but it was a start. Do you know, we had over 150 people come.
Okay.
And had a wonderful speaker. We had several of our representatives there.
Okay.
And we raised $43,000. And that doesn't sound like a lot to the normal person, but for us, it began, we could get paid a little bit. What's happened with that is, you know, by December, we still had about $20,000 still in our account. But just that little bit, Stephen, really helped empower us to go, we can do this. And what's happened is going from 2018 with one church we were serving, and 2019 we were serving seven.
Okay.
And now we're looking at 20 more in 2020.
That's fantastic.
So our growth rate, because of those people that came to that dinner giving, has multiplied the impact that we're having in South Carolina. And now we're looking at hiring a regional manager. We just hired a administrator. It just takes people to make this happen.
All right. Now we're coming up on the second annual fundraising dinner,
yes,
correct?
Yes, we are. Yes, we
All
are.
All right. Give me the details.
All right. It's going to be March 24th on a Tuesday at the Tiga K Country Club.
Okay.
We are going to begin at 5:30 p.m. with a silent auction and a social hour.
Okay.
It will be a cash bar, so it's not like you can come and get it all. So. but some of those proceeds are coming to us as well. Tiga K Country Club has been amazingly gracious and generous to us. So we are going to have a dinner that we will be hosting. We will have a speaker that we are still deciding who our speaking team will be, but we are working on that. We're gathering corporate sponsors right now. So if you are out there and would like to corporately sponsor us, we would love that. You will get a lot of incentives that night on our website. And most importantly, you'll make a difference in the children's lives of South Carolina.
That right there is your payoff.
Absolutely.
You know, for the business world, because these are, believe it or not, your future leaders.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, they're going through basically a living hell right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train.
Right.
Okay, so, I mean, it's a good opportunity. How do folks get a hold of you all? I mean, how can one get in touch with Kim or Betsy or whoever
Absolutely.
They need to talk to?
You can go to kim@fosteringthefamily.org or betsy@fosteringthefamily.org. You can also come to our website, Fostering the Family, and you can get in touch with us there.
Okay.
We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter. And like I said, our website is fosteringthefamily.org.
Okay. So. Very simple. Fosteringthefamily.org. And, of course, their mission is, was mentioned at the outset, to assist families in their call to foster and adopt, utilizing the local church to strategically care for each family physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Nowhere in there do you hear the word financially. Interesting.
Mm. Yep. When we go to a church, we have made a commitment to say we're never going to charge a dollar amount. It's just we're going to go and give away our services because this is how passionate we feel our plan is. And we understand that there are some churches that are more rich than others.
Sure.
Some, you know, we have a few in Rock Hill. They don't have any foster families, but they're able to give us a certain amount per year, which has been, and that's just begun. But that's what they can do. Then we have other family or other churches that have, you know, 75 foster families, and they're just needing us to roll out how is this going to look at their church. So what we do is go and mentor churches on how to roll out this plan. And it takes a lot of training, a lot of organization. But once it is given away with a clear vision of in their leadership what to do, it's really beautiful to see it roll out.
How difficult has this been for you all from the time that you started it? I mean, it seems like it'd be such an uphill thing, but you've made it sound relatively easy here this afternoon.
You know, it has been hard. It's hard when people misunderstand you and, you know, can, you know, I don't know. I mean, there can be a lot of things. Like, for instance, we had a fun run last year, and I just kept feeling this press. We are supposed to have this fun run, and it didn't make sense. We probably only had 50 runners. But my thought is, if we don't start somewhere, then we'll start nowhere. So let's try it. If it flops, it flops, and then we just start again. And that's what we've done a lot. But I have to say, it has been difficult in certain instances with volunteers coming and going and board members coming and going, because all of that just takes time, and people are messy. It's not like, you know, you get a board or you get several volunteers and it's super easy. You know, that can be hard, but we are about peace and reconciliation. We are about lifting up the name of Jesus, and there's a high mandate with that, that you treat people with grace, you treat them with respect. And I'm happy to say that for the majority, a lot of good things have come back to us, so much so that we both Betsy and I feel like we are just, it's landing in our lap, the good things that are happening. You know, representatives from different parts of the state contacting us, our head DSS director coming to our advocate clinic a few weeks ago. That doesn't happen with anybody, you know, and yet he was very complimentary of what we're doing.
You're doing God's work. It's been an absolute pleasure. Kim Trainer with us today from Fostering the Family. If you want to get, can I give out the phone number?
Absolutely.
You want to call Kim, you can do it at 678-787-6003 or visit their website, fosteringthefamily.org, the best way to do it. All right,
straight.
Thank you. It's been a privilege. Straight Talk, broadcasting live right here from Substation 2 on Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. And, of course, it's always brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders Now. They make subs and salads right before your eyes. And the way they do it is...
Slice, garden.
She got it. Manning's back tomorrow. Have a great day, folks.